It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Start the hour with our Road to Repeat. It's sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. We've talked about it a little bit today. Obviously, the Panthers right now, tough couple losses. They've lost three straight. They're 4-5-1 in their last 10. 92 points. They're 4 full points back of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're a point back of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're going to play two this weekend. Barkey's out for both of them, so kind of tough news there. They've got the Ottawa Senators tomorrow. That's a 2 o'clock game. And then they'll play the Detroit Red Wings Sunday at 5:30. Jimmy, double-check if the Panthers game is on QAM tomorrow. I think it is because the Heat don't play until 8, so it would make sense if it is. Is it?
Yeah, it's on QAM.
Cool. All right. So tomorrow, Doug Plagans right here. You can listen to the Florida Panthers on your home for the Florida Panthers. They play the Maple Leafs again when they come back home. That'll be on Tuesday. Hawk and Crowder are going to be out there, by the way. They're going to be out there Tuesday and Thursday next week, both home games. You have the Maple Leafs Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the Amerant Bank Arena. And then the Red Wings again. They play them twice in a span of 5 days. That'll be Thursday at the Amerant Bank Arena, April 10th. And then the Cats' final home game of the season will be Monday, April 14th. And Hawk and Crowder will be out there as well. So the next three Panthers home games, next three Panthers home games on weekdays. That's Tuesday, Thursday, and then the following Monday, April 14th. Hawk and Crowder will be live at the Amerant Bank Arena doing the show. Still to come this hour, I'm really looking forward to talking with Rohan Nadkarni. He covers the NBA. He's been on with us a bunch of times before. And I want to talk to him about this Heat run that we've seen. I know the Heat lost last night, and it was frustrating. We're going to play some audio regarding that final play when we get to 15 minutes of Heat coming up here in a few minutes. What Spo and what Khalil Ware, what some of the guys had to say following that Ja Morant game winner, which was crushing. So we'll get to that coming up in a few seconds here. But I don't know. I'm interested to see, like, has the tenor changed at all regarding the Miami Heat? And it doesn't mean that they're going to go and win a playoff series. It doesn't mean they're going to beat the Celtics or the Cavs. Like, I get it. But, you know, are the Cavs and the Celtics now perhaps thinking to themselves, we don't want to play that Heat team. No, like, we'd rather play the Bulls. We'd rather play the Hawks. I think we'd rather play the Orlando Magic. And overall, like, big picture, what do the Heat do? coming up later this offseason, because I thought, you know, George Sedano was on with us earlier this week. And look, man, like Sedano has covered this franchise for a long time when he was here. Now he's out in LA. Dude knows ball, right? And Sedano pretty much made it seem like, you know, going out and getting Kevin Durant was still the move. And I just don't know anymore about the KD thing. Had you asked me a month ago, I would have said whatever it takes outside of trading Bam Adebayo. You know, whatever it takes. Keep Bam. This roster has pretty much run its course. And, you know, that was in the middle of probably the worst losing streak that the Heat have had. Well, definitely the worst losing streak they've had since the 07-08 season. But just in terms of vibes, just in terms of how we all felt and how it felt around that team during that 10-game losing skid, getting run off the floor by the LA Clippers, getting run off the floor by the Grizzlies, losing double-digit leads to the Cavs, then blowing 22-point leads or 17-point leads to the Bulls and Hornets in back-to-back games. Like, the vibes were just terrible, man. You asked me during that stretch. I'm telling you, yeah. Whatever you can do, go get me Kevin Durant. But I read something this morning where Bradley Beal, you know, he made some comments to a newspaper out in Arizona. He's saying, I feel like we can still make a run. And it's just nonsense, right? It's something you say if you're Bradley Beal, because what else are you going to say? Because you look at the NBA standings right now, Kevin Durant is still out with that ankle injury. And the Phoenix Suns, for another year, are just a disgrace. They're 35-41. And I'm not saying that's all on Kevin Durant, but at some point, we kind of talked about it a week ago. At some point, like, is KD the answer? You keep Bam, you keep Tyler Hero. Is Kevin Durant the answer? I don't know. Does that put you in a position where you're going to beat the Celtics, where you're going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are the top dogs in the Eastern Conference this year? Does that make you better than the New York Knicks? Maybe. But I don't know for sure anymore. You asked me a month ago, I would have told you 100%. 100% you do it. But right now, I don't know. And I'm not telling you that running it back is okay. I'm not telling you that I want to run it back with Wiggs, with Tyler, and with Bam, and that I feel like that is a better team. It's not my point here. But you're looking at 2026. That's the offseason. That's when guys become available. That's still your best bet to go try to get one of these whales that we're all looking to add to the Miami Heat to make them a legitimate title contender again. Do you want to risk perhaps having flexibility come 2026 by pushing all your chips into a Kevin Durant trade? I don't know. It'll be interesting. Somebody says, this ass clown is still on the do not trade Bam. My Lord, are you dumb? Bro, if you think the Miami Heat are trading Bam in a bio and the return isn't Anthony Edwards, or the return isn't Nikola Jokic, then, sir, you know, perhaps stop smoking so much weed. I don't know what else to tell you. Put down the crack pipe, brother. The Heat aren't trading Bam Adebayo, unless it's for a player like that, and it, like, that's just not going to happen. It's just not. Doesn't mean Bam is a top five player in the NBA, but the type of team you can build with Bam Adebayo is a really good team. You just need that next superstar, and I think the idea would be keep Tyler, keep Bam, and then add that superstar. And I'm down. I think we're all down. But can you keep Tyler? Can you keep Bam and still add a superstar? I was looking at odds for Kevin Durant's next team, and I think Hawk read them yesterday on the show. And yeah, Houston is ahead of the... Like, there's a lot of teams that are going to have better opportunities to go and land a Kevin Durant, that are going to have more draft picks, that are better situated right now with younger rosters and have better assets to trade for them. So it's a tough spot the Heat are in, man. There's no doubt about it.
I don't understand the people that say that, like, Kevin Durant would be the answer. He's only been the answer one time in his career, and that was in a team that was already built to just have him come in here and just do his role and get things done.
I don't, I, I don't subscribe to that notion. I'm here with the Durant took the easy way out narrative. Like, he did. He went to a team that was already a title winner, that had lost in the NBA Finals to LeBron James, and maybe the best run to a title ever with LeBron in Cleveland, as much as it pains me and Heat fans to admit. He went to a team where it was easy to win, for sure. But, bro, Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City, like, they had a 3-1 lead against the Golden State Warriors, who ended up being the greatest regular season team a year after and came back and beat him and Russell Westbrook. Like, yeah, Kevin Durant was that dude in OKC.
Was being the key word. We're talking about over a decade of time, and he's had other stops in his career, Brooklyn, wherever it might be, it just hasn't worked out, and that was the whole thing. Oh, we're a Kevin Durant away from making it happen, and it's just never happened.
No, for sure. For sure. I'm with you. Like, KD right now, that's my whole point. Like, KD right now, I mean, man, the Phoenix, the results or lack thereof in Phoenix are crazy eye-opening to me. Crazy eye-opening. Is he the dude? But I do think the Heat with Tyler and with Bam, and then you add Kevin Durant, are just a better basketball fit than Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and KD, who are all ball-dominant players. They can all shoot, and they can be catch-and-shoot players, but it's not what they do best.
Yeah,
and if Tyler Hero, you pair him up with KD, you pair him up with Bam, that's the best player either of these guys have ever played with. And Durant doesn't have to come to Miami and be expected to be a 30-point-per-night player. He doesn't really have to carry the load every night. You're seeing Tyler Hero do it. Imagine the opportunities that the spacing on the floor when you add a Kevin Durant. Like, I get it. It's enticing.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But if he comes to Miami, wouldn't, like, in other stops where he's had, it's kind of like James Harden. It's always something else. It's all the chemistry with ball-dominant players doesn't work. It's the coach's fault. If he were to come to Miami and it doesn't work in Miami, are you going to put it on KD now and just be like, hey, maybe you're the problem. You're the reason why.
I think that's what people are doing in Phoenix. I think that is what they're doing.
You think so? I think that still a lot of it is like what you alluded to, where it's like, oh, they just don't work well. The Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, KD thing doesn't work.
You know, but I think there's some truth to that. And it goes to show, I mean, it's a deeper conversation, but it goes to show what the Heat did back in 2010 is crazy. The fact that LeBron and Wade were able to coexist on the floor, yeah, and you brought Chris Bosh here, who was the offense in Toronto, and you told all three guys, hey, you're all number ones. Well, guess what? You're not anymore.
Yeah.
I think it goes to show, like, how unbelievable it was that the Heat were able to do it. I get what you're saying. At some point, you just have to figure out, okay, KD's not that guy.
But right. That's been my thing with James Harden for a long time. It's like, no matter where you go, no matter how much of a superstar, all-stars, MVP talks, it always ends up with the same result, and it's someone else's fault.
Yeah, well, guess what? I can't even I'm having a hard time just scrolling through NBA Twitter anymore. I don't know if anybody else out there feels the way I do, but if I see one more outlet post a Dwayne Wade and James Harden graphic,
it was on First
with
Take.
With numbers. Was it?
They were talking about it on First Take like 2 days ago. I was looking at the bottom of the screen. It says, is James Harden a better shooting guard than Dwayne Wade? It's like, how are we even wasting our breath on this?
Yeah, and you know, everybody does the numbers, so I had this saved. It's stupid to even – because, all right, Dwayne Wade, career numbers, 22 points per game, 5 assists per game, 4 rebounds per game. He shot 48% from the field, 29% from three, 76% free throw percentage. And then, you know, you look at James Harden's numbers, 24 points per game, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 44% from the field, 36% from three, and he shot 86% from the line. And yeah, okay, you do that, and you say, all right, James Harden's a better player. But anybody who thinks James Harden is a better basketball player or will end up having a better career than Dwayne Wade is legitimately dumb.
Yeah, they're crazy.
I mean, you do not know basketball. And it's not because we're from Miami, and it's not because Dwayne Wade happens to be my favorite player. I realize, you know, I'm extremely biased in this conversation, but anybody who thinks James Harden, who showed up one season to play with the Houston Rockets, the organization which he'll be most remembered for, where he had his best seasons, so fat that the team decided they wanted to trade him, and then went to Brooklyn and teamed up with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and couldn't make that work, then went to Philadelphia and played with Joel Embiid and couldn't make that work, played with Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook in Houston, couldn't make that work, and played with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City and could win a ring there against Dwayne Wade. I know he was young at the time. Anybody who thinks that guy's better than Dwayne bleeping Wade, I mean, you are absolutely out of your mind. James Harden, great one-on-one player. Awesome step back. Yeah, great. Dwayne Wade has the greatest NBA Finals performance in the last 25 years. Single-handedly beat the Dallas Mavericks. Single-handedly. Oh, yeah, and Dwayne Wade, you know, he wasn't the best one-on-one defender. James Harden might be one of the worst one-on-one defenders in the NBA that we've seen in a long time.
It's as simple as this. It's not even about numbers. One is a winner, and one is like a perennial loser. That's all James Harden has done in his career. It's just lose. Time and time again, every single year, he's just a loser. Crazy. You cannot say that about Dwayne Wade. That's a guy that constantly rose to the occasions, playoffs, fourth quarters. There's a lot to be said about that. That's not just how many points per game or like whatever numbers they want to throw at me.
Yeah, it's the box score stuff. The best part is that, you know, in all these graphics, and it's what's crazy, it's this is taken off. You know, it's being debated on First Take. This is taken off. The best part is that Dwayne Wade has a championship hat on, the Miami Heat championship hat on in all these graphics. And you know, James Harden, well,
just a little fat guy that can shoot threes every once in a while.
Isn't exactly showing up come playoff time, if you know what I mean. Somebody else says, Solana, what are you guys smoking? This so-called crappy Heat team just went into Boston and shellacked the Celtics. They beat them by 20 points. How do you not think Durant would improve this roster by a lot? I'm not saying it wouldn't. I do think Durant improves this roster for sure. Don't get me wrong. I'm just wondering if it's worth giving up what it would take to get Kevin Durant if you're getting a 38-year-old Kevin Durant for a season. That's all I'm saying. If you asked me a month ago, I would have said 100%, do whatever you need to do to go get KD because this roster has run its course. And now maybe I'm as Hawk would say, or you know, some of you would say, falling for the banana in the tailpipe, maybe with this 6-game win streak and then you know going toe-to-toe with Memphis, like maybe. But I don't know. I mean, you're willing to give up first multiple firsts for KD and maybe, you know, some of your young assets. I don't know. I just don't know if it puts you in the conversation that you want to be put in automatically anymore. All right, let's do headlines because we can talk about some of this with Rohan Nadkarni, who's going to join us next. He covers the NBA. Headlines with Steven.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. The Heat, they take on the Bucks tomorrow, 8 p.m. from the Kaseya Center. You can catch all the action right here on 560 WQAM.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's our final 8 p.m. start time, too, for a game this season. Which, for those of us, Steven works a broadcast with me. For those of us that work the broadcast, we can rejoice that the Heat, let's see, let me double check. No, they play the Bulls on Wednesday in Chicago at 8 o'clock, too. And they play the Pelicans at 8, too. Oh,
hey, the last game of the season, though, they gave us a 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
Always.
Take that.
Always. Last game of the season is always at 1 p.m., which is Eastern Conference games, which is good news. What else you got, Steven?
I will take that. The Panthers, they've got two games this weekend. They got the Senators tomorrow, 2 p.m., and the Detroit Red Wings Sunday, 5:30 p.m.
Yes, sir. Vamos Gatos. And hey, did any of you catch this yesterday? For those of you who listened to our broadcast last night, Amy Audibert, who does the radio broadcast with us, of course, she's an analyst on the away games as well on FanDuel Sports Network Sun. Amy yesterday, talking about Pella Larsson, said that she wants to call Pella, she's giving him a new nickname.
I heard that. I heard that.
Yeah, she wants to call Pella Mr. Tapas.
Yeah.
And all right, so her explanation was, man, I wanted to get the audio. Her explanation was that, you know, you go out to eat. For those of you who don't know, tapas are a, it's like a Spanish cuisine. So basically, they're just a bunch of small little dishes. So it's like when you go out, you get appetizers, but instead of bringing you like a big plate of appetizers, you get a bunch of little tapas, a little small offerings of different dishes. So snacks, little appetizers. And instead of going out for a meal, a lot of times you'll just go eat tapas. So you'll order a bunch of different, you know, maybe a little plate of croquetas, a little plate of ham, a little plate of cheeses, and a variety of just small dishes. And she was saying that that's what reminds her of Pella Larsson. He can just do a little bit of everything. And I don't know, like maybe she's onto something there, but can you name a guy that's Swedish after a Spanish like meal? I don't know. Text it in. Are you down with calling Pella Larsson, you know, Mr. Tapas? It's not the I love Amy, man. So I'm not trying to hate on her. It's not the worst idea. Like I don't hate it. I love where she's coming from. I love the idea. But I know he's Swedish. I think Tobin's got the perfect
Swish.
Nickname. Swedish Swish. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the one. I love how Jax just like paused for a few seconds after she said that. And then she goes, right? Like, just to see if you can get a reaction out of Jax. And Jax's like, mm-hmm. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
A little moment of silence there from Jax said it all.
Yeah.
The Marlins, they opened up a 3-game series in Atlanta tonight against the last place Atlanta Braves. Let's make sure we say that as much as we can for now until they start winning some games. Hopefully not tonight.
Yeah.
First pitch, 7:15 p.m., Max Meyer on the hill for the Fish.
Former first-round pick, Max Meyer on the hill.
Yeah, he's a flamethrower. And
I don't know about that, bro.
We got to get fired up for the guys we got. Start looking at AAA, see who the next guys up are. You know we're not getting any free agents or we're not making any big trades, so you got to start looking forward to the guys that are throwing mid-90s in AAA. Why not? We got Final Four action tomorrow. UF and Auburn, they'll start it off at 6 p.m. Duke and Houston will tip off right after that game.
Yeah. Just some Heat news really quickly. Andrew Wiggins is out tomorrow versus Milwaukee. It's a huge bummer. And Tyler Hero is questionable tomorrow with a right thigh contusion. I'm just reading from Ira Winderman right here. He played through a bump in last night's loss to Memphis. I remember he took a hard fall. Jaren Jackson Jr. just put him on his ass last night. Tyler was down for about 30, 40 seconds, and then he was able to get back up and finish the game. And according to the NBA's last 2-minute report, there was, according to the league, no push-off or a travel. No travel, no push-off on Ja Morant's game-winning shot last night. They write, Morant places his off-arm against Ware and stops his forward momentum before he releases from contact and steps back. Okay, garbage. Just garbage.
I don't think they're going to blow a whistle on that.
I'm fine with it, by the way. He's a star, probably a superstar when he's available. He's a star. You don't call that on him. That's fine. But just don't even do the last 2-minute report on that play, NBA. You're disgracing yourself by even publishing that. It was a push-off. I don't care how they describe it. That was a push-off. 100% was a push-off. You don't call it. I'm not saying they should have called it. That was a push-off last night.
I've never understood why they do a 2-minute report in any game. Like, I just don't think, like, that's it. The call happened. It is what it is. What are you going to do? Go back? And they put out the report. They never do anything about it. No matter how egregious of a mistake they made, it doesn't matter.
Swiss Army knife for Pella Larsson. That's an easy one. I like that. And then the Swedish hammer. Somebody else was calling him a Swedish hammer. I don't know if it was Crotty. The Swedish hammer. I like that too. Swedish swish, which was Tobin's. I love that. Yeah, I don't know if Mr. Tapas is gonna catch on. Sorry, Amy, if you're listening. when we draft a Spaniard, maybe we can throw out the Mr. Tapas nickname.
Now time for your weather, sponsored by Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. 81 degrees outside, 0% chance of rain, and 13-mile-an-hour winds.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit of NBA coming up in the next segment. We'll take a quick break here. Hawk and Crowder are off. Rohan Nadkarni joins us. We'll talk about the Miami Heat loss last night, plus some other stuff I want to get into with Rohan as well. It's the Hawkman and Crowder Show. We take you up until 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Jimmy, hit him with a yeah, boy!
Yeah, boy!
Hawk and Crowder.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We continue on the 4 o'clock hour on the Hawkman and Crowder Show. Always love having Rohan Nadkarni join us, and that's exactly what we'll do right now as we head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Chop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. This can serve as our 15 minutes of heat, which is sponsored by my friends at Hollywood Kia. Get the start treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all Florida. And like I tell you each and every day, we want to see you in a Hollywood Kia, or shop online at hollywoodkia.com.
This is a Royal Rumble between Toyota and Kia right now. Toyota, what these guys are, it I is, have to but, imagine. Yeah.
But Rohan, Kia pays the bills for me, brother. So I side with Hollywood Kia on that battle.
Okay.
Yeah, the heavyweight.
As an immigrant, shout out to Toyota. They've been our choice for many generations. So
respect. Understood. Yeah. Understood. Jimmy, Steven, don't send this air check to Hollywood Kia. Rohan, love having you on. Rohan, he's a sports reporter for NBC News, lived in South Florida for a long time. He once sat down with Dwayne Wade for a one-on-one interview, which I am still very... Are you, Rohan, are you as upset as I am? I was just ranting about it in the previous segment. Hawk and Crowder are off, so I just use this as a soapbox to come on and just rant about things that they don't let me rant about.
Yeah.
NBA Twitter right now is doing this, and Steven, our producer, was telling us that it even made it to First Take, which is crazy. This Wade versus Harden debate. Like, you know ball as well as anybody I know or that I follow. Are you as, I guess, like, disgusted with how many people think James Harden is going to end up being a better basketball player than Dwayne Wade? And it's not even an indictment on James Harden. To me, it's just straight up disrespect to how good Dwayne Wade was, because everybody who's young just thinks LeBron carried him.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and I think Dwayne Wade has done the best he can himself to kind of stay above it. And there's a lot of things that work against him, both in the era they played in, and not just in terms of what's happening on the court, but the era they played in media coverage, league pass access, all these different things. The NBA was just covered a lot differently from 2003 to 2009, which were probably Dwayne Wade's best years as an individual player, than it was now. You know, Dwayne Wade was never ran the kind of offense James Harden ran, where he has four shooters around him and he's running a pick and roll almost every time down the floor. You have to imagine if he had gotten a chance to do that in 2007, maybe his numbers would look a little bit different. I understand it, and I don't want to disrespect any player. I obviously understand it's frustrating as, you know, someone who grew up a Heat fan, obviously a big Dwayne Wade fan. This is what happens. This is what happens as the era's gone. You can just look at the numbers and make an argument. But history, I think, will always continue to show just how impactful Dwayne Wade was. And I think what's reassuring is knowing how secure he is in his own legacy.
I realize, you know, I'm probably not the right guy to have this conversation, impartially, as I just realized I have a Dwayne Wade book behind me in the video. Like, I realize it, but I feel like I can have this conversation rationally, give respect to James Harden, one of the best one-on-one players I've ever seen in my life, while also recognizing, yes, Dwayne Wade's my favorite player of all time. Dude was just a better overall player. Anyways.
Yes. I mean, it's more to me, what the real upsetting part is how many people think Dwayne Wade's career started in 2010.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of highlights of him on both ends of the floor from the first 6 years of his career. I mean, to me, my favorite Miami Heat season remains 2008, 2009. That's the year I think Dwayne Wade should have won MVP. And the feeling when he would check in the fourth quarter in a close game and watch him try to bring it home. That was special. That was special to watch. And I think a lot of people who have the debate never watched him play during that time.
Dwayne Wade in 08, 09, bringing back the Converse Wade 1 edition with the white and black mix, to me is like peak Dwayne Wade. And
yes,
probably my favorite basketball season, even though he was doing it alongside Jamario Moon, a rookie Mario Chalmers, a rookie Michael Beasley, and Yakuba Diawara might have been his best three-point option. Like, that to me will always be like peak Dwayne Wade, best D-Wade season. So, Rohan, what about this Heat team right now? To go from losing 10 straight, turning it around without Andrew Wiggins for the most part, to win 6 in a row, they beat Boston, which is kind of crazy to say. They didn't just beat them. They kind of ran them off the floor, and albeit Boston a little shorthanded for sure. And then yesterday go toe-to-toe with John Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. And I think there was a huge lapse defensively. Davion probably shouldn't have gone under the screen. There was still time to recover. With all that being said, though, what do you make of the run? Is it foolish to think that there's something, I guess, bigger to be taken away from it other than, hey, tip of the cap that they didn't just fold on the season?
You know, I wouldn't take too much away from these last few games. Obviously, they've been exciting, and I think they are a positive indictment of Eric Spoelstra. You know, one of his favorite sayings, don't let go of the rope. This team hasn't let go of the rope they bought in. in many ways, I thought their performance against Memphis was maybe their most impressive performance of the last 7-8 games. You look at some of the teams they beat. They beat up on the Hornets. They beat up on the Wizards. They beat up on the Sixers. Okay, you know, I don't take too much away from those games. Even Boston, like you said, Boston was coming off its own tough schedule, sitting a bunch of guys. The Warriors game was a spirited effort, certainly, but you look at their three-point shooting, it was like 17 of 25. It was kind of unbelievable. That carried them a lot. Memphis, I thought that they were really impressive on both ends on the second night of a really tough back-to-back against a desperate Memphis team that had all its stars healthy. So in many ways, that was the most impressive performance to me. I don't think you can take too much away from it, mostly just because of the hole they've dug for themselves, honestly. Like, let's say you get Wiggins back, and this team is really good. At this point, you're still looking at playing either Cleveland or Boston in the first round of the playoffs. I think an impressive feat there would be winning one or two games. So I don't want to read too much into it other than I think that this team needed this stretch, and Spo especially needed it. I think Spo has been pounding the table that this team was close to turning a corner, and I'm glad that he can point to something to say that they in fact did.
Big picture in your mind, what is the direction? And I know, look, there's a lot of basketball to be played. There's a lot of decisions to be made, especially for the Heat, depending on if they make the playoffs or not. Do they keep their own first round pick? There's still a lot that has to happen. But big picture in your mind, what is the direction that the Heat take this offseason? We were just talking about it, Steven, Jimmy, and I, during headlines in the previous segment. Kevin Durant, had you asked me a month ago, Rohan, I would have said, whatever it takes outside of maybe trading Bam, go get, just figure it out. Like, do it. Now, I don't know, because of the way it's transpired in Phoenix and just the fact that you're kind of seeing something with Tyler and with Bam right now where they're showing you at the very least they can be your 2 and 3 option. So I know I threw a lot at you, but what is the direction? Is it just go whale hunting no matter what this offseason, try to improve? Or do you play the patient game for 26?
It's a great question, man. And it's a lot trickier than it seems because I think I'm on the same page. A month ago at the trade deadline, frankly, I think they should have gotten the Durant deal done. And I'm surprised they didn't. Maybe they think the price will be cheaper this offseason, but there's going to be a lot more teams in the mix. I think first and foremost, they need to identify what they have right now. You're seeing, you know, Pelle Larsen in the starting lineup. Can you identify what you have in someone like him? Can you identify what you have in someone like Khalil Ware? And I think that these guys are improving the more they play, and that's what you want to see. Like, that was a tough defensive rep for Ware against Ja Morant last night, but in some ways, there's no better learning experience, no better, you know, teacher than him being in that moment and doing his best to try to stop someone like Morant. So first and foremost, you got to identify what you have. Secondly, they have interesting pieces, but I don't think any of them matter unless you get a star-level talent in the mix. You know, as much as we love Bam Adebayo, I think Bam is someone who we don't need to think about what his contract extension talks are going to be like 10 years from now, but I hope he retires with the Miami Heat. Let me just put it that way. At the same time, I think they need a star-level, a real superstar-level talent to kind of orbit around, as great as Tyler's even been this year. Their record is what their record is for a reason. As great as Tyler's been in the last 6 games, they also lost 10 games in a row. The Durant question, I would have said, yes, you go for it no matter what, maybe two months ago. It's tricky, man, because as great as Kevin Durant is, you look at his numbers post-Achilles tear, he's still Kevin Durant. He's not dropped off. But if you make the move for Kevin Durant, let's say they trade 4 first-round picks, now you're looking at the next 7 years. You're maybe making 3 picks of your own, and you got KD for maybe 2 years. That's a tough one. But at the same time, they keep saying, we'll wait for the next guy, and the next guy never comes. So I almost wonder if you go all in on Durant and you have a little 2-year window, and then maybe in 2 years you kind of blow it up. Maybe everyone rides off into the sunset. You're talking about maybe even Pat doing so at that point as well. But The short answer is there are no easy solutions for that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Again, Rohan Nadkarni is joining us. He does cover sports for NBC News, loves the NBA as well. I always recommend following him during the NBA season. Last night, Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. That has to be a first round matchup, right? Like, just for NBA fans everywhere, that has to be a first round matchup.
It has to be a playoff matchup. It doesn't matter to me what round we see it in. There's a part of me that hopes we somehow get it in the conference finals. But I remember I was telling my girlfriend all week, I was like, Thursday night, I'm watching LeBron versus Steph. Like, I'm not missing this. We don't know how many of these matchups we're going to get. And I love that they both lean into the moment. Those two understand what's at stake when they play each other. They're, as much as they try to be like all buddy-buddy, best friends, Olympic teammates now, they know that there's still a little bit more food left on the table for their legacy conversations, and they're both going after it. And that's what's been great. I know the Warriors are a little bit of a sore subject now that they have Jimmy Butler, but they've been fantastic with him in the lineup, 20-4 now. If we get that in the playoffs, I think it's going to be an absolute classic series.
So, you know, you mentioned potentially a Western Conference Finals there, and sign me up 100%. What is your take on the MVP race? Sorry to throw the most basic NBA questions at you, but I'm just interested. I don't understand how Jokic is having the best statistical season of his career. He's already won the MVP award 3 times, and he's not the MVP. But I guess, you know, the case for for SGA is that he's SGA. He's really good. So what's kind of your take on how this plays out?
My take, first and foremost, is that voting for MVP has almost gotten too difficult. There's almost too much information available now, because back in the day, back when we were growing up, it was like, it would be SGA. It would be no question. It'd be the best guy. Look at how good this team is. His numbers back it up. This is a no-brainer. Now you have all these advanced statistics that attempt to measure Jokic's impact, and he's just off the charts. I mean, this guy leads the league in heaves from beyond half court, and he's a big center, and he's still shooting like 45% from three. He's unbelievable. His game against the Timberwolves the other night, the 61-point triple-double, I was just watching it with my jaw on the floor. I don't think there's a wrong answer. If I had a vote, I think my vote would be for Jokic. But I at the same time, I don't think a vote for SGA is a bad vote. I really think this is a toss-up here. And the Thunder, to SGA's credit, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries this year, man. Chet Holmgren missed a ton of time. Alex Caruso has missed a lot of time. Isaiah Hartenstein's missed a lot of time. They had, you know, games where Jalen Williams was playing center. They've dealt with their own issues. They built a very deep team, but my real take is there's too much information. There's no wrong answer. My personal lean is Jokic, but I don't think you can go wrong.
Yeah. Rohan Nadkarni is a huge Dolphins fan. You're Channing Crowder's biggest fan. He's ducking the show today. Here's why I think it is, Rohan, because the Gators play tomorrow, and we were just going to give him hell today about UF. And if they do lose, my guess is he'll take all of next week off. But I will give you the platform, as I always do, to be upset and voice your opinion and vent a little bit about the Dolphins. We had Lee Sterling on. He's a sports handicapper based here in South Florida. The over-under win totals were released for next year, and they're set at 8.5. And he had way under. He's like, I priced him at 7.5. And he would still maybe take the under. He doesn't see them as a 500 team. Calais Campbell, he said, see ya, deuces, I'm going back to Arizona. This is tough right now. This is supposed to be a make or break year. And Chris Greer seems to be taking naps during free agency.
I have no idea what they're doing. Thank you again for giving me the platform, because I have a lot to say. You know, there's some people who sold us last year as like, this is the year they're maybe trying to get their books a little bit clearer. They're not handing out big deals in free agency. Now, look, Solana, you and I are old enough to remember when this team gave Ndamukong Suh a giant contract and the team still sucked. Okay, they're still 500. Same old Dolphins, didn't matter. Oh, we signed Mike Wallace. Tannehill can't throw him a deep ball. It doesn't matter. So I don't need them to make the big free agent splashes. That's not what I need. I don't need them to hand out these big contracts. But they have glaring holes on this team. If Liam Eikenberg is starting at left guard at week one, we need to do like a protest. We need to do something. I mean, that can't happen. Okay. So number one, they got to address the left guard spot, but we've known that. Who's our number two cornerback right now? Who's starting week one again, opposite Jalen Ramsey on the boundary at cornerback.
Whoever Kater we draft. Cole?
Yeah,
whoever
exactly.
Whoever we draft. Yeah.
They have one NFL caliber defensive lineman right now in Zach Sealer, or interior defensive lineman, I should say.
Yeah.
It's just there are so many glaring holes on this team. There are free agents available. What just is frustrating is, again, I don't need them to be the day one winner in free agency. We've lived that life before and it hasn't worked. But there are glaring holes on this team, and maybe they have a plan, but right now it's not inspiring. We just saw what it takes to win a Super Bowl, and it's like investing in your offensive and defensive line. It's not that everyone can overnight just snap their fingers and become the Eagles, but I just don't understand the Dolphins, man. And it's so frustrating to watch year after year. It feels like that it's not difficult to know what they need to do, but they refuse to do it.
I know you can host sports radio in South Florida because you hit on Liam Eikenberg, and that's it. You hit it. You did the gold mine there. Don't even get me started on that. Yeah, Rohan, I mean, they lost all three of their veteran leaders, Raheem Mostert, Calais Campbell, and they're signing guys who I understand there's some upside, but your best offensive lineman that you signed is coming off a torn Achilles.
That's the signing I'm most excited about because at least they recognize they needed a guard, you know?
Yeah. But of course, it goes into the same, I guess, narrative of Chris Greer loves guys who come cheap, but they're cheap for a reason. And okay, you can take the approach that everybody gets hurt in the NFL, but like I'm kind of tired. Our most important player is most likely going to miss 3 to 4 games a season in Tua Tagovailoa. I'm kind of tired of that being the norm around here.
I think that they're almost better off like taking a true rebuild year. And I would still keep Tua, but just try to get as many draft picks over the next 2 years as possible. I'd keep guys like Waddle, Chop, Tua. You have young pieces to build around, but they're kind of stuck in between wanting to rebuild and wanting to be a veteran club. And I'm like, I'd rather, you know, you take a step back, but you at least get, I don't know, 18 draft picks over the next 2 years and try to rebuild the team that way instead of this kind of half, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but half butt effort they're given so far.
We hear it all the time. Purgatory in the NFL is the worst place to be. You're not good enough to compete. You're not bad enough to improve your team. And it gets tossed around a lot because as you saw the Commanders in a season, and I know they drafted a quarterback, but there are examples of teams who perhaps were where the Dolphins were, but a couple good signings, a couple guys exceed expectations. They're right in the thick of things. But the Dolphins truly are in the worst place because none of us expect them to compete with the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens. Like, they're just not good enough. And they gave contracts out to guys to put them in that position. And they're also, because of the brass, feeling like they have to go out and win a playoff game. They're not going to lose to improve their roster. It's mind-numbing. Before I let you go, Jim Larrañaga yesterday on our show said he has never eaten a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Is that not the craziest thing you've ever heard?
That's wild. Listen, I'm not even from this country, but I feel like one of my first couple years here, I was like, peanut butter jelly sandwich, yes. Let's go. You know, yes. I saw that. I was like, I thought April Fool's was earlier this week. What's going on? Is this a bit? That was really mind-blowing to me, really mind-blowing to me. And also, he's just missing out on one of our great – I'm hungry for a little bit more than a snack, but I don't want to eat a full meal. That's when you reach for the PB&J.
Man, we are kindred spirits. This is exactly what I told him. You're past lunchtime, but you're going to have a big dinner. You don't want to get too full. PB&J, I mean, it hits the spot every time. Rohan, appreciate it. Again, Rohan Nadkarni, follow him on Twitter at Rohan Nadkarni. And again, read his work. He will make you a smarter sports fan, a smarter sports consumer. NBC News. Thank you very much, Rohan. And I promise I will do everything I can to bring you on during Dolphins season. I want to give you this platform so we can talk about how the Dolphins are just crushing our dreams once again.
Yes, we just need the therapy session. We all need it. Everyone 100%. Will feel better for it.
100%. Rohan Nadkarni. Thanks, man. We'll talk later.
Take it easy, guys.
Yeah, there you go. That's Rohan Nadkarni. We will take a break. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hours coming up next on the Hockman and Crowder Show.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
That
is some cojones, boys! Wow!
Hawk and Crowder.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.